Let's take our Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. This is a very special day for us. We commemorate our 78th anniversary as a church family. And oh, how the Lord has blessed us all these years. You know, the thing about anniversaries is it's rather peculiar. People celebrate anniversaries in different scales. Some people really will go all out, and some people don't really do a whole lot. And men, I encourage you to look at the calendars and make sure you don't miss your anniversary if it's coming up soon. Because you and I know full well that there's a whole lot of trouble that comes when you forget that milestone of an anniversary. As I think back to a few years ago, there was a young couple that had recently gotten married. And the young man and I were talking, and I asked him what he was planning to do for his anniversary. It was his first anniversary. He said he wasn't planning on doing anything special. As far as he was concerned, it was just like any other day. And I warned him. I said, oh no, you can't do that. You have got to go all out for this anniversary, because your first one really does set the tone. I looked him in the eye and said, do you like being married? He said, yeah. I said, are you happily married? He said, yeah. I said, then you need to go all out for your anniversary. And so he did. He booked a room at a really nice hotel and took his wife to a very special meal. And the next time I saw him, I asked him how it went. And he said, I want you to know, I am never listening to you again. Really? I said, why in the world would you say that? He told me that he spent more that one night than he did on his wedding, maybe even on half of his honeymoon. He really went all out. I asked his wife what she thought about it, and she thought it was a really special memory. For each and every one of us who heard that story, it certainly did stand out as a very special anniversary, as well it should. It was a big one. It was a milestone. It was that first anniversary. But think about 78 anniversaries. They seem to keep coming every year. And every year we look a little bit different. We're a little bit more worn for the wear, as life has been difficult for us. But if there's anything I can say about 78 years of God being faithful to his people here at Andrews Memorial Baptist Church, it's that over those 78 years, we have repeatedly seen the goodness of God over and over and over. And I rejoice today that I call you my brother, my sister, as we are part of the family of Andrews Memorial Baptist Church. And this is a very special moment for us in our history. And I think we do need to take a moment to just sit back and reflect on all the goodness that God has done over the years. But at the same time, we need to consider what he's doing right now in our lives. We don't live in the past, we live in the here and now. And we are looking forward to what the Lord Jesus is going to do in this church in another 78 years. So to our church family today, I say happy anniversary. The title of our message this morning is, I Love My Church. And I thought it would be a great opportunity to consider the arrangement, what it means to be part of the family of Andrews Memorial Baptist Church. The focus this morning is understanding that the one who rightly values the body of Christ will not take the body of Christ for granted. Just 2 points and we'll be done. I'd like to explore why it is that church matters in the first place. And then secondly, I'd like us to evaluate what church means to each and every one of us, what church means to me. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25, as I invite you to read along with me. The writer writes, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your body. Lord, it was your body that was broken. It was your blood that was shed. Lord, the gospel story, the message of the cross, that you took our sins and you dealt with them personally on the cross, taking our place, that you were buried, but Lord, the grave couldn't hold you. You rose again the third day, and those of us who have put our trust in you as our only hope, make up your body here on this earth right now as part of the church. Oh Lord, I thank you. I thank you so much for the gift of your body and the gift of your body here in this local assembly. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did and what you want us to see in bringing us together and understanding our function and how we function as a healthy group of believers. And Lord, I pray today that in this special moment, after these 78 years of seeing you work so faithfully, Lord, I pray that today you would give us a deeper, true appreciation for what our church means to each and every one of us. We ask these things in your name. Amen. How many people try to live life on their own? I think that's the hard part about right now, being isolated, holed up inside of our houses. It seems like forever since we've seen someone, and we've got that temptation that we'd like to be able to get out and just to be able to get around other people, because it just seems like this crisis has gone on for so long, and I want you to know that I am with you. It is difficult. These days have been difficult because we do not live in isolation under normal circumstances. We're part of something bigger. But how many times have you ran into a person or you spoken with a person who identified as a follower of Jesus, and when you ask them where they go to church, they don't know. They couldn't tell you the name of their pastor. They could give you just a general direction to the place that they went to the last time they went to a place called the church. And for those people who might be listening today, I hope that our message would encourage you to come and unite with a body of believers. We're a great place here at Andrews Memorial Baptist Church, and we would love to take these next few moments to walk this journey together, to explore why it is that church matters and why we all need to be engaged and involved in our local assembly. It's because that as a church family, together we live out a greater purpose. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, the writer tells us that together we live our clean lives. He says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." And there were two words that stood out, the us and the our, collectively. As a body of believers, we live our clean lives together. Church is a wonderful place to come and to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, to be grounded in sound doctrine through sound preaching, through the study of the Word of God. And that study contributes to the work of the Holy Spirit doing a work in our lives that helps us to be able to shake off. We call this process sanctification, where you and I, as we grow day by day as believers, we let go of those obstacles, those sins that hold us back. Sometimes we do it just because of sheer ignorance. We just didn't know. We were so young and immature, and we didn't know that we should let that go. And as we learn, a healthy believer gives up those areas of sin that are holding them back. And as believers, may we never ever be that type of person that says, you know what, I'm going to keep holding on to this because I like this. This is who I am, and I'm not going to let anybody change me. But friend, if God calls it sin, see it the same way and give it up. Together as a body of believers, our lives are the collective testimony of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives, how He's washed each and every one of us and cleaned us with His blood. And together, as a church family, we live clean lives together. We also encourage one another to stand fast in the faith. Look back with me at verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Something that we can't do apart is stand together. You have to stand together when you stand together. And the important purpose for us as a body of believers is, yes, we live a clean lives together. And yes, we encourage one another to stand firm in the faith. And we do this when we give encouragement to one another. Maybe when we're going through a difficult moment and our faith begins to weaken, we share part of our story with one another about how the Lord had brought us through that difficult moment. We encourage one another to stand fast in the faith from our own experiences. And sometimes we encourage one another to stand strong in the faith through our lack of experience, knowing that the Lord had saved us and delivered us from a lifetime of heartache. And we encourage other believers to not wind down that path, but to follow Jesus straight and true. We encourage one another to stand fast in the faith. And in verse 24, we encourage one another in love and in good works. Look with me again. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And just to be clear, in Hebrews chapter 10, there is an us that's being spoken to. It's the body. It's this group of believers. And you and I have an important work that we do as a body, and that is encouraging one another in love and in good works. I need someone on my side helping me to appreciate what Jesus has done. Having that outside perspective of someone sharing with me about what the Lord is doing in their lives and what they can see the Lord doing in my life. Oh, I know what the Lord is doing in my life, but to hear encouragement from another believer. Sometimes we all need someone to give it to us straight, but with the spirit of love. We have an obligation one to another to desire the best for one another, and we do so, encouraging one another in love and in good works. And then we come to verse 25, and this is probably where you were thinking as we read through this, what's he going to have to say about that? In verse 25, look with me, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. Yes, we intentionally gather together. And that's what makes this time so difficult, that you and I aren't able to have a face-to-face. But I hope in these last few weeks that our together time hasn't been diminished because of the distance, but that we have made an extra effort, as is evidenced by this format that we're working through this morning. How important it is for us to continually to gather together. And so don't let a wooden understanding of what it means to forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I'd like to touch on that in just a little bit later as we unwrap what that exactly means, because I believe it is possible to show up in person at a church but bring the entire church down because you have forsaken what it means, as this passage tells us, you have forsaken the assembling of ourselves together. Don't interpret that simply as just showing up and sitting on a pew or sitting in a padded chair. Because I think sometimes we need to watch out. Forsaking the assembling of ourselves together means taking for granted what it is that the church is, who it is that is made up in the church, and what they mean to each and every one of us. Here's why the church matters. Jesus, the apostles, give us several metaphors for how we should view the body of Christ, the church of Christ. He uses the expression of a body as a building and a family. And in every case, the metaphor really holds up, and it holds us up, knowing that we are part of a larger body, knowing that we are a spiritual house, the household of faith, and that you and I are part of the family of God. However you try to dice it, it comes down to this reality that every part of the body is essential. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 20 through 27, Paul tells the church, "But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again to the head, to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the body should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular." Every part of the body is essential. Don't believe me? I do not want to encourage you to try this experiment, but just for sake of argument, if you were to remove a portion of your body, how long would it last? If you were to lose a finger or a toe, how would your body function? Well, you say, I could probably get along pretty good without a finger or a toe, but I want to remind you, God gave you all of your fingers and your toes, so don't go about trying to lose them. I can remember several years ago, one of our dear brothers in this church, Brother Doug Roberts, was telling with me the story about the time that he lost his big toe. See, him and his brother Lynn were out riding bikes, and I believe Doug was riding on the handlebars, and as his foot happened to catch one of the spokes in the wheel, his big toe got lopped off. And Doug and Lynn were terrified about getting in trouble with Miss Nellie, and they picked up that toe and tossed it in the field and ran home with the hopes that Mama wouldn't find out. And I asked him as he shared that story with me, I said, "What were you thinking? Were you trying? Did it hurt? What was the worry on your mind?" He said, "All I could think about was don't let Mama know I lost my big toe." When Miss Nellie found out, I'm sure he wished he could have reattached it. How sweet Brother Doug's memory, how sweet Miss Nellie's memory are to all of us. And over these 78 years, part of their story is now part of our story. And as Brother Doug shared with me that day, the story of how he lost his toe, it's just a reminder to us as individuals that every part of our body is essential. That's you, that's me. We also find that we cannot function apart one from another because every part is essential. This place requires you and me together. In aspect of the church being a family, please understand that we see from scriptures that every family member is valuable. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19, Paul writes to the Ephesian church, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God." As a family, we share, we help one another see value. I'm reminded of my dear sister, Miss Bernice Johnson, our first missionary, by the way. Miss Bernice had to come home from the field, having served many, many years on the field, and it was very apparent that even though she was physically here, her heart was still in Haiti with the people of Haiti. But on many occasions, Miss Bernice would come and present her story to the children's ministries here at the church. One particular time, I think it was the last time actually, that I remember Miss Bernice sharing that story and how I loved to hear her talk about her time in Haiti. She stopped talking after it was said and done, and she just looked across the room and was very pensive. And I asked Miss Bernice what she was thinking about. She looked around the room with a big smile. She never married. She never had a family of her own. She said, I have a large family, even though I never had kids of my own. As she watched the boys and girls play in the activity building after her talk with them, she found contentment in a moment. That as a family, you and I help one another plumb the depths of the love of Christ in our lives. That part of your story reveals to me about how great the unmatched love of Jesus actually is. And when I look at my story, I see from my perspective what he's done for me. And as I look across the auditorium, as I look from pew to pew, I find the value of how wonderful our Savior is for what he has done in our lives. And you and I together as a family share that message of the unfathomable richness of the love of Christ. We can't comprehend the love of Christ fully apart from one another. And then lastly, when we're talking about building, please know that every building stone is precious. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter tells us, "To whom coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Each and every one of us are the building blocks of this body we call Andrews Memorial Baptist Church. The Lord has shaped us. The Lord is working in our lives. And together, you and I are part of the building materials of this place. And Jesus didn't just save us to build a building for people to drive by and say, "Oh, that looks like a nice place." No, he shaped us because he values us, because he calls us precious. And he laid down his life as our foundation for us to lay down our lives one for another, to use the gifts that he's given us to bless one another and our community. I'm reminded of my brother, Elmer Brown, who wrote many, many books over the course of his life and ministry. When he gave me his last published book, he gave it, as he was always so generous, to share with us his most recent writing. How many times did Brother Elmer bring in a box of books to make sure through his generosity that every one of us had one of his devotional guides or one of the books that he had taken time to write? And as he gave it to me, I said, "Brother Elmer, how much can I pay you for?" And he said, "No, I don't want any money. I don't want any money for that at all. God wants me to use the gifts that he gave me, and I want to give this to you." And today his books are on my bookshelf, and even though he's not with us, his memory and his legacy lives on in my shelf. He left something for each and every one of us because he loved us, because he found value in us, and each and every one of us is precious. We cannot exist apart from one another because together we make up the body in this local assembly. We make up this spiritual house together. But I want you to take a moment to consider something that sometimes we lose sight of. This church belongs to one greater. We have to be careful when we start to take ownership of something that truly never will ever belong completely to us or can belong to us, because this body belongs to one far greater. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 22 through 24, "For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's freeman. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein is called, therein abide with God." Each and every one of us has a rich standing in Christ. But while he has freed us, we belong to him because the price that he paid to purchase our redemption, that every one of us are indebted to him. And this place is his body. This assembly is his. There is only one worthy owner, Jesus. So it's great to love this church, but let's be careful that we don't insert ourselves above the only worthy owner, Jesus. Now I'd like to take a few moments to explore what church means to me. Look back with me at Hebrews chapter 10, 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is." Now, we talked about this a few moments ago, what it means to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Right now, this has been difficult because we have not been able to personally gather. And I'm grateful that you are viewing this right now, that you're listening by way of radio or by telephone through our telechurch ministry. You have made an extra effort to come together, and you have really gone out of your way to connect with this service today. As I said a few moments ago, it's entirely possible to come to a church service and not contribute, to not participate, and that's really what forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I know some people use this as an opportunity to encourage people or to tell people they have to come to church. And you know what? I'm going to join them on that and say, listen, I think it's been demonstrated as a body, as a family, as a building, each and every one of us plays an important part, and we can't do this apart. So you must make an effort to come out and be with us, and don't take for granted what we have as a body of believers. And if there's anything I can be grateful about this moment where you and I aren't able to meet together, it's this. We certainly aren't taking for granted what we have together as a family of believers. And why is that? I'd like for you to take just a few moments to evaluate what church means to me. What church means to you. In our church, this is our place to belong. Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 5. Paul writes, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And he hits home that fact, that truth, that you and I belong together as the body of Christ, forsaking ourselves, the assembling of ourselves together. When this crisis is over, let's not let our schedules, let's not let anything keep us from coming together whenever we can. I'm talking about attendance here, but I'm also talking about that connection that we have in belonging together. We are all part of the body of Christ, and we need one another. I need you. And when you and I can start to understand and to picture how it is that we function, that we are a small component of a greater, larger work of the Lord, it's a very humbling reality, and every humble believer values his unique ministry to the whole church. There is an opportunity for you. There is a ministry unique for you. God has gifted you specially with special gifts and abilities. And how we need one another. And it's humbling when you stop and consider that we can't do this apart from one another. We don't exist on our own, but together our bond as a family is strengthened. And every believer values his unique ministry to the whole church. Church also should be a place to grow. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, Paul writes, "For whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." You and I were saved not just to get a trip to heaven, but to grow in this life, in this journey of faith. As we grow as believers, we move from immature stage to maturity stage. And along that journey, we should be reinvesting the lessons that we've learned in other generations, in our family, in the person who sits next to you. As we share and encourage one another, we don't just grow ourselves, but we should be encouraging one another to grow. And every functioning believer contributes to the healthy growth of the whole church. It's not a responsibility that's just reserved for a handful of people. But as a body of believers, we grow together. And as we grow together, we grow together for the greater good of our Lord. Which leads us to this last point. Church is our place to serve. In Galatians chapter 6, 10, "And we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." The unique contributions that you bring to the body of Christ here at Andrews Memorial Baptist Church, it's invaluable. We couldn't put a monetary amount on it. You and I, as true servants of Christ, love one another, serve one another. We're part of this household of faith. But do you know, in the grace of our Lord, he didn't want the church just lavishing in itself and heaping upon itself and just staying inside the church walls, being a blessing to one another inside the church, but rather to go out beyond our walls to do good to all men, and especially those who are of the household of faith. And there is a unique ministry for you here in this church and outside of this church. And as a member of Andrews Memorial Baptist Church, this is our place to belong. This is our place to grow. This is our place to serve. And every sowing believer seizes the opportunity to minister to the whole church and to the community. I love my church, and I'm so grateful for 78 years that the Lord has worked in this place. The one who rightly values the body of Christ will not take the body of Christ for granted. So here's our response. There's help wanted. There is still a great need for an encourager ministry in this body to be able to bear one another's burdens. I'm grateful for those of you who will be so faithful each week to send out cards as I reach out to our members and they say, please pass along how grateful I am for the card ministry. To be able to receive those cards is such an encouragement to me. It makes me feel special. And I want to say to those of you who are doing that, thank you. But you know, encouraging our ministry is just making sure that we're connected because we are part of a family. A family that loves one another, and let's continue to love and encourage one another. And we also have a need for strength training. As believers, you and I really should be encouraging one another to grow in our faith. In order for our body to be healthy, we've got to be growing. And so I ask you today, will you be the one who commits to strength training, to growing in your faith? It's not elective. It is something that you do in your life that strengthens us as a believer, letting go of those sins that beset us and following after the Lord who so gloriously saved us, being a student of His Word, being very faithful and very active day by day, doing that hard work of being a follower of Jesus. We have a need for strength training in our church. We've also need a bodybuilders. We need plenty of bodybuilders in our church. It comes through encouraging one another. It comes through being students of the Word. But may you and I together work to be drawing in more people. May we be used by the Holy Spirit to reach out into our community, to make connections with people, that we'd be sharing the gospel, that people would come to know Jesus, and that our body would grow strong and healthy. This isn't our place. This isn't our work. This is the Lord's work. So here's our prayer. Lord, fit me into your body for my sake, for our sake, for your sake.